Welcome to the program God and Country, a program that examines political, economic, prophetic issues in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, and today's program is about ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act that has just passed in the Senate. And the bill sounds all fuzzy and warm and accepting, but it's the most dangerous piece of legislation we have seen in a long time. Maybe even more dangerous than pro-same-sex marriage legislation. Because this bill would make it illegal to discriminate against sexual orientation or gender identity. This bill would treat sexual orientation, gender identity, as other federally protected categories, such as race, gender, age, and religion. Therefore, Christians would be forced to accommodate to and affirm LGBT behavior or be prosecuted. Now, the growing legislation of same-sex marriage is alarming. But those laws don't directly force anyone to accept LGBT behavior. All they do is give homosexuals a piece of paper that claims they are married. But the Employment Non-Discrimination Act forces acceptance of homosexual behavior. And the Employment Non-Discrimination Act is really a stealth same-sex marriage bill. Because if Congress passes a law that states you can't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, that automatically challenges state laws opposing same-sex marriage. For example, if there were states that had laws prohibiting Latinos from marrying, as ridiculous as that sounds, federal non-discrimination laws would override those state laws and permit Latinos to marry. In the same way, if the states have laws against homosexual marriage, adding sexual orientation and gender identity to federal non-discrimination laws would override state laws prohibiting same-sex marriage. So the LGBT lobby is fighting on two fronts. First, going across the country trying to legalize gay marriage in states that do not have same-sex marriage. Second, working to get non-discrimination laws against LGBT behavior. Now, New Jersey has already added gender identity and sexual orientation to their non-discrimination laws, but most states have not. So the LGBT lobby has gone straight to Washington to try to make this a federal statute. I believe the ENDA law is so important that I'm going to take two programs on this, today and next week. We're all concerned about same-sex marriage, and we should be. But ENDA is being pushed under the radar, and most people do not understand the ramifications. You need to know the details of the next big legal battle in America, the next step secularists are taking to marginalize, prejudice, and persecute Christian morality. So in order to help you understand the implications of ENDA, let me describe for you four recent court cases. Last summer, Elaine Photography versus Willock, the New Mexican courts fined Elaine Huguin $7,000 for refusing to photograph a gay wedding. She stated that it would be a violation of her beliefs to use her talents to photograph same-sex marriages. Now, the lesbian couple easily found another photographer for their wedding. Nevertheless, the judge ruled against the Huguins, stating, "All of us must compromise, if only a little, to accommodate to the contrasting values of others." But notice that the judge ruled that compromise only goes one way. Why wasn't the lesbian couple compelled to accommodate to the religious beliefs of the Christian? Because whether consciously or unconsciously, the judge was by default putting the moral values of homosexuality above the moral values of Christianity. Case number two. In 2007, David and Tanya Parker sued Lexington, Massachusetts School District for violating their civil rights in teaching their first grade son that homosexual behavior is normal and for failing to give parents the right to opt out of such lessons. The Parkers lost the case. The courts contended that since same-sex marriage is the law of Massachusetts, the state has the obligation to promote homosexual relationships to young children. Federal Judge Mark Wolf wrote, in essence, under the Constitution, public schools are entitled to teach anything that is reasonably related to the goal of preparing students to become engaged and productive citizens in our democracy. Diversity is the hallmark of our nation. It is increasingly evident that our diversity includes differences in sexual orientation. So the judge ruled against the Parkers. Now here again, the rights of the homosexuals to promote their homosexual values trumped the rights of the Christians to promote their heterosexual values. Now if we lived in a truly equal society, at the very least, Christians should have equal time to teach their view of morality to a classroom of first graders, but Christians are not given equal time. The public schools believe that homosexuality needs to be taught, and Christian morality, because it's religion, must be kept outside the public sphere. The third case. In New York State, American Eagle Outfitters dismissed a male employee who was turning off customers by wearing women's clothing on the job. The state of New York forced the clothing chain to allow cross-dressers because of the state's new human rights laws. American Eagle had to hire cross-dressers who would express their sexual identity on the job. And the ruling here amounts to reverse discrimination and really a net reduction in civil rights protection. Because every right given to a cross-dresser to force others to accept his LGBT behavior is a right taken away from someone who prefers not to embrace LGBT behavior. Now, people have already been given the right to cross-dress in their homes or on the streets, but what the state is now doing is forcing businesses to accept the homosexual view of gender identity. And this is effectively the state favoring the religion of secular humanism and disfavoring or prejudicing the religion of Christianity. A society that promotes true equality would give each citizen, each business, the freedom to choose their own associations. If ENDA is passed, the Employer Non-Discrimination Act, a transgender cross-dresser will be able to teach elementary school children, and nobody will have the right to object. Now, right now, we most likely have enough morals in our society that most states and most parents would object to a cross-dressing teacher, because the majority of Americans believe that there are proper gender distinctions that should be represented to our children. But ENDA would make it illegal for people of faith to expect or require gender identity based on biological gender. It would remove from the public sphere traditional Christian views of sexuality. And this will be the calling of good evil and evil good. As in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light, and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. The final case involves Robert and Cynthia Gifford, who own a 100-acre farm in New York State. They rent out their farm to family gatherings, children groups, weddings. A lesbian couple called and asked to do a wedding on their property. The Giffords refused. The lesbians taped the phone conversation, and it was definitely a setup in order to prosecute the Giffords, because the community knows that the Giffords have Christian values. The state of New York prosecuted the Giffords for human rights violations. The Giffords argued that their private business is on private property, and they believe they have a constitutional freedom of religion, specifically their belief that marriage is between a man and a woman. And freedom of religion should trump state non-discrimination laws. When the state of New York legalized same-sex marriage in 2012, they included a provision that businesses could not refuse accommodation to same-sex couples. But that law was never tested against the laws supporting freedom of religion. And so this is where the conflict is going to take place. The Giffords case, the Huguen case, are going to work their way up to the Supreme Court, and we will see what happens. Now, back in 2000, in the case Boy Scouts of America versus Dale, the Supreme Court ruled that freedom of religion trumps anti-discrimination laws against homosexuals. It was a very close decision, 5-4, but the court ruled that the constitutional right of freedom of association allows a private organization like the Boy Scouts of America to exclude a person from its membership when the presence of that person affects in a significant way the group's ability to advocate public or private viewpoints. Opposition to homosexuality is part of the Boy Scouts' expressive message, and that allowing homosexuals as adult leaders would interfere with that message. But that was the court's ruling back in 2000. Now the moral landscape of America has changed dramatically. And I suspect that the courts will rule against freedom of religion, even as the courts have overturned the Defense of Marriage Act. Now, for the remainder of the program, I would like to discuss the theological, ideological motivations behind ENDA. Obviously, the agenda is to give LGBT people the right not to be fired or discriminated against because of their sexual orientation. And that sounds well and good. But in that rights are being given to LGBT individuals, rights are being taken away from religious individuals who do not believe it's right to accommodate to homosexual behavior. And if we're talking about simply selling appliances or electronics to gay individuals, there's no problem. But this is about hiring LGBT teachers. This is about hiring cross-dressers who flaunt their sexual orientation. This is about forcing Christians to participate in businesses that promote homosexual behavior. Any right given to some to behave a certain way sexually in public is a right taken away from someone else who does not want to be exposed to that behavior. And as I said before, this will actually mean a subtraction in civil rights, not an addition to civil rights. This will mean less freedom and more politically correct policing. And what the state is now creating is reverse discrimination. Discrimination against those who hold to biblical traditional values. The gay lobby is trying to make a moral equivalency between their movement and the movement against racism back in the 1960s. But it's one thing for the state to prosecute someone who prefers not to work with those of a different skin color. It's a whole other thing for the state to prosecute someone who prefers not to associate with a drag queen or a cross-dresser. Sexual orientation is a matter of character, mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. And the state has never interfered into that sphere of freedom of association. One was never forced to do business with a prostitute or a strip club or with an adulterer. Businesses were not forced to provide products or services to pornographic industries. But now there is a secular crowd in America that want to make moral distinctions or moral values a matter of discrimination. This is all rooted in the fact that our country has abandoned a belief in God, His laws, morality is now relative, and therefore all behavior needs to be considered equal. and this is the path to Sodom and Gomorrah. The agenda behind ENDA is twofold. First, to get the state to support and sanction a new view of sexuality. The secular humanist view is that the Christian view of sexuality, gender roles, and family are a construct of religious superstition. That Christian values are not natural to mankind's evolutionary origins. That man is a sexual animal and man should be able to act any way he wants in regard to sexual urges. And that Christian morality hurts mankind's natural balance with nature. Furthermore, secular humanism teaches that gender is not definitive. It's an accident of nature, so you should be able to choose your own gender. And there are no absolute ways for a man to act or a woman to act, because there's no God, there's no lawgiver who has given absolute gender roles. So without God, all things are permissible. And the secularists are now calling Christian morality gender bias, in that we believe that there are gender distinctions or gender roles. To be against LGBT is gender bias. They are advertising that they're against all forms of gender bias, that they want to stomp out gender bias. But what they're really saying is that they want a country in which there is complete sexual license without any Christian morality in the law. And they're using the legal system to banish Christian beliefs about sexuality. They're already complaining that movie ratings are discriminatory, that nudity should be accepted, and that the age for sexual consent needs to be lowered to age 14. So their first agenda is to promote a new view of sexuality in America, to legalize the tenets of the sexual revolution. The second agenda is really to persecute Christians and Christian morality. Christian morality is a gender bias that must be stopped. And the LGBT community believe and have positioned themselves as the righteous ones in this whole debate. The Christians are the hate mongers, the bigots, the haters of the human race. Condemnation of homosexual behavior is characterized as hate speech and bullying, and they're seeking to apply laws prohibiting hate speech and bullying against the Christians, such as the City Council of San Antonio passed a law to make it illegal for anyone to serve on the city council if he or she has ever said anything against homosexuality, and the city will not do business with anyone who has spoken against homosexuality. In other words, Christians need not apply. So this is the wicked persecuting the righteous, as we read in the book of Psalms. Psalm 37:12. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. Psalm 37:32, the wicked spies on the righteous and seeks to kill him. I think we've forgotten that there really are wicked people who hate the righteous and hate righteousness. And the Bible warns us about this because we ought not to be naive. Also, recognize this tactic. The homosexual community is trying to position itself as a victim that needs to be compensated and avenged. Because for 1600 years, Christianity has made homosexuality illegal. Gays had to stay in the closet. Gays had to look over their shoulders. Now it's the homosexuals' turn to persecute Christianity. For Christianity must compensate the homosexuals, even as slave owners had to compensate the slaves. Well, if your basis for morality is equality, then this might sound reasonable. But if there is good and evil, if there is any moral law in the universe, then immorality and morality should not be on an equal footing. Righteousness must rule over evil rather than evil ruling over righteousness. And that's what's really going on here. This is a battle between the kingdom of man, or rather the kingdom of Satan, and the kingdom of God. And what we see happening in America is identical to what happened in ancient Israel when she departed from the Lord. As we are in a battle between an anti-God sexual revolution versus Christianity, Israel was in a battle between Baal worship and Jehovah worship. And I've made this comparison many times because it's a universal, timeless lesson given in the scripture to help us speak to the apostasy of our day. And we should all be very well acquainted. And we should all be very well acquainted with the prophetic message against Baal worship because it's relevant for our day. Baal was the god of the Canaanites. Other cultures worshiped a god similar to Baal, but under different titles. The name Baal was simply the Canaanite term for God, just as the Jews called God El, or the Arabs Allah, the Greeks Theos, the English called God God. And there's no harm in different titles. But the Canaanites defined God not as the eternal, sovereign, holy God, but as the God of fertility, as the God who favors and promotes sexual freedom. And that's what's happening today. There are many clergy in the homosexual movement who have redefined God and Christ as being pro-homosexual. Now, the Canaanites in the days of ancient Israel were not worshiping the true God. They were worshiping the demons and Lucifer himself, thinking that they were worshiping God. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. The things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. So don't think that the Canaanites were worshiping the same God, just with a different name. And don't think that the Canaanites were worshiping the statue of Baal. They didn't really believe that Baal was a statue. That statue was just an aid to worship the invisible spirit of their God. So the battle in ancient Israel was this: who is the Lord? Is it Baal or Jehovah? Who's the true God and what is the true morality? Is the true God the God who sanctions sexual freedom, or is the true God the God who gave the moral law to Moses? And so when the prophet Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel, Elijah says, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord, Jehovah, is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. The people then were like people today. They either couldn't define the true God or they were unwilling to define the true God. Now, this departure from God in northern Israel started years earlier when King Jeroboam set up a new religion in northern Israel that borrowed heavily from Judaism but adopted many pagan practices. 60 years later, Elijah arrives on the scene, and by that time, this hybrid religion of northern Israel had morphed into complete Baal worship. There was abortion and child sacrifice, homosexuality, immorality was rampant. All the prophets of Jehovah were persecuted. Many were put to death. And the government supported the religion of Baal. Modern secular humanism is identical ideologically to ancient Baal worship. The only difference is that today, secular humanism couches its values in terms of science, while ancient Baal worship couched its values in terms of superstition. But they are exactly the same ideology. Baal worship was a belief in sexual license. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 13. "Moreover, among the prophets of Samaria, I saw an offensive thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. Also, among the prophets of Jerusalem, I've seen a horrible thing. The committing of adultery and walking in falsehood, they have strengthened the hands of evildoers so that no one has turned back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom and her inhabitants like Gomorrah." And again today, the politicians, the liberal professors, the liberal clergy have strengthened the hands of evildoers. And secular humanism is also turning America into Sodom and Gomorrah. It is the false religion that is being used to sanction and legalize the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Two final messages. One for the Christian, one for the non-Christian. For the Christian, I hesitate to mention this, but if ENDA is passed, it will still work out for the good of God's people. But please don't take from this that we ought not to stop ENDA from passing. Now, how will it work out for the good of God's people? Well, if the state forces us to accommodate to LGBT, then while we are forced to work with LGBT people, we will speak to them about their sin, about salvation, and the judgment to come. Just like the Apostle Paul was confined to jail by the Roman government, and he wrote that because of his imprisonment, the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the entire Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, Philippians 1:12. So the state forces accommodation. It gives us an opportunity to preach the truth. The state says we can't have that, so our rights to free speech are taken away. We still speak. We get put in jail, but there are people in jail we can witness to. We get 3 free meals and lodging courtesy of the state. And if they put us to death, as Tertullian said, the blood of the saints is the seed of the church. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So then why are we against the Employment Non-Discrimination Act? Please understand, it's not primarily for our sake, but for the sake of those people who don't know the Lord and who are passing this legislation, because they're bringing greater judgment down upon their own heads. We're concerned for them, and it's really hard to get Christians to understand that it's really for the world's sake, not ours, that we are politically active. My second message is for anyone listening who is a non-Christian. What you are seeing in political events is the battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And you must decide which side you're going to be on. God is showcasing for you the two kingdoms. And you must now decide which side you're going to be on. God is extending to you by his mercy and grace an invitation to receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance in the kingdom of God. All you have to do is believe the gospel and choose for Jesus Christ. What a great opportunity. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. Contact us with questions, comments, insights through our website, godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this message again or download it. That's godandcountryradio.org. You can join us also on our Facebook page or our Facebook group. Thank you for listening today. And if God so leads, I hope you can make this program a part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, the program and the agenda of two kingdoms have been defined. We know that your kingdom will come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. May a soul listening today believe, repent, and choose to be on your side. In the name of Christ I pray. Amen.